All right, I guess I'll get started as there's a few more stragglers coming in. So we're here to talk a little about how to manage better your projects, your project online and project server. So give you a little bit of background on me. My name is Sarush. Just in case you're scared of the big long name, I go by Rush, so it's a lot easier for people to kind of call me. I'm a senior test lead on the project team. I've been with project for about little over 7 years now, and I've owned everything from clients all the way to server scheduling, and now I lead a team that actually does the testing for the server scheduling. So anything between client and server, my team handles. So today I'm going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to apologize because last night I guess I cheered a little too loud for the people doing karaoke, so my voice is really coarse. So you'll see me stop for water every once in a while. So the objectives that we're going to talk about is why and when to use Project Server and Project Online. And for the purposes of this presentation, I'm going to use Project Server just kind of to represent the whole thing. It's really for, as an overview, Project Server and Project Online are very similar. From what we're going to talk about here today is there's very little things between the two that are different, and it's most on the architecture side, database side, and kind of backend stuff. The features are very similar on whether you get an online or an on-prem server. So you'll hear me just saying Project Server. It doesn't mean it's on-prem or online. It just means it's the same thing for purpose of today. And I'll talk a little about what are the capabilities and kind of go through from beginning of what you do for when you start using Project Server all the way down to how do you do reporting and how do you do some of the more advanced stuff with it. And the bulk of the concentration is going to be on creating, planning, and executing your projects, and then a little bit about how do you actually track this stuff, how do you track progress, how do you do reports from it, and how do you actually get insights into projects. What I won't talk is differences about Project 2013 and versions before it. So if there is multiple sessions on that, if you want, I can give you the names of the people and the recordings for those ones, so you can kind of look at those specifically. So if you're running 2007 or 2010 and you want to upgrade, this kind of doesn't cover what the differences are. And it's really not a deep dive. So I have to like, during the 75 minutes of the session, I'm going to try to go from portfolio all the way to reporting. So it's a big, broad stroke on the whole product. If I do have a slide at the end, so if there's related material on deep dives on each one of the sessions, if you're interested, you can take a look at those sessions, or if you want, you can send me an email and I'll put you in touch with the right people for those features. So just out of curiosity, raise your hand if you already do task management through Excel or Outlook, like Outlook Task, Exchange Tasks. Wow, nice. SharePoint and Project Client already? Is that connected or just Project Client only? Only? Connected? And the last one is Project Server and Project Online. All right, so there's a good mixture in here. So really the way I kind of think about it is project management is something that you kind of grow into it, and as a company, you grow into it. It's something that no company from the get-go comes in and says, we want to really put a lot of processes in place and put a lot of overhead when we just need to manage some tasks. So it's something that as your company's maturity grows and the complexity of projects you deal with grows, you start, need to deal different tools for project management. So when you're small, do you have a few people working on stuff? It's a really to-do list more than a project. So it's, check done or not done. You really deal with just tasks. And it's, whether it's SharePoint task lists or it's Exchange Tasks or Excel, it's something simple. You can just manage it in a kind of a not done, done manner. And you don't really need scheduling. There's not that many dependencies. There's not many people working on stuff. There's not that much oversight and insight. You don't need to manage it. You don't need to report on it that much. It's more just for you to know. As a team grows, as the projects grow, you end up using something like a project management. And it kind of grow, like, there's different things. And you can see kind of this kind of scale, the kind of names I put there, it kind of grows with it too. So you have project size, which is in SharePoint. So it kind of gives you a little bit more insight now. You have timeline. It kind of tracks how many tasks you've got, when they're due. You can assign people to it. A little more advanced stuff. And then if you got even more advanced stuff, you go into Project Pro that you can kind of use the whole scheduling engine behind it and kind of manage your dependencies. But you're still dealing on a smaller scale. You're not dealing with massive thousands of projects. You're not dealing with thousands of resources. You're kind of still on a smaller scale. And really, the last level is the enterprise level. And that's the one that you have anywhere between 24 to 1,000 resources, between 24 to thousands of projects, and thousands of tasks per project. So that's really you growing to bigger scale, and you need something to actually manage this portfolio of projects. It's not just something that you can look at the project and going, yes, it's done and it's going to be due here. It's something you really need tools to kind of help you pick the things that need attention as opposed to things that are going right. And that's where really Project Server comes in. And how Project Server can really help is that it kind of gives you sets, set of tools that kind of go holistic from one end to other end. So it, you can start with gathering ideas and figuring out what's, you know, what's best for your business. So you can use the portfolio services and ideation services that we have, integration with SharePoint, and the portfolio service that a Project Server has. So you can actually figure out what are the business drivers that you have, what are the things that really matter to your business, and kind of choose the right projects that will give you the best bang for the buck, as opposed to kind of figuring out, we think we're going to do this one, go halfway, that was a wrong decision, let's go back and start over again. This tool kind of gives you that what-if analysis, and we give you the tools to kind of go, you know, let's do try this one, this combination is going to, you know, yield this, take this many resources and just yield this much income or result or whatever the business driver for you is. So once you choose the projects, now it's time to actually go and create and manage your projects. And once you get into that, we have the scheduling engine, we have multiple clients you can actually use, so we have the web client and the pro client connected. And we also have resource management tools that you can use, whether it's for capacity planning and you want to manage, or you just want to just manage the resources that you have. It's, you know, you want the, you want to be able to manage the people who are working as well as the things you need to assign stuff, you know. So Bob the builder needs to work on this thing, but he also needs a bulldozer to go with him. And you need to make sure that bulldozer is at the right time at the right place, as opposed to, you know, you can't have, if you have one bulldozer, it can't be assigned to six tasks at the same day. So it kind of gives, allows you to kind of manage those sort of things inside the product. So once you assign the stuff, now you want to actually track how things are going. And you can track progress or you can track time. You can figure out where people are working on and pay them based on that, or you can just track how the status of your project is and, you know, how are your tasks doing, what's late, what's not late, what needs to be done. And it kind of gives you tools, it gives the project managers the tools to kind of figure out if, you know, actions need to be taken, what is the first actions need to be taken, what's the thing that's most critical to actually to the project. And as a whole in the business, you need to keep an eye on how the business is doing. So we gave you reporting tools that I think you saw some of the keynote demos, you've seen some of the other presentations. That's kind of, we give you insights in, it's no longer just insight into one project, but it's insight to the entire portfolio of projects that you have. So you can look at whether it's all of your resources, whether it's all of your projects, or everything as a whole. So you can kind of manage that and report up, basically. So not just to project managers, but to management and exec level. So let's start off with choosing the right project. So there's different sections, so if you want, you can really interrupt me. If you really want to, you can interrupt me at the end of the, thank you, at the end of the section. But I'm just going to ask, keep the questions as much as you can to the end, so make sure we get through all the content. So choosing the right project, and you're going to see me do this a lot, and because it's not, what I want to emphasize is that Project Server is like, you know, it's not once, as I said, when you get into the enterprise level, you really need Project Server to help you. But it doesn't mean that you need to have the full pledge, you know, oh, we don't do capacity planning, so we don't need Project Server, or we don't need portfolio analysis, so we don't need to go to Project Server. It has different levels, so as you grow into it, you can start using the features, or if you're at a beginner level, you want to kind of try it out, you can also use the more basic features to it. So it's you'll see me having this kind of this graph up here of, you know, this complexity, growing complexity. So the first step, you know, to choosing the right projects is through ideation with integration with SharePoint. And it's really simple. It's, you just basically create a task, you kind of define what are the things that you care about. How much is this thing going to cost us? How many people is it going to take, for example? And how much is it going to pay at the end? Like those three columns that you really care about. And it's just a list. It's just a spreadsheet of this project is going to cost us this much, give us this much money. So it's easy to input. But then you can bring all of that into Project Server very easily just by a click of a button, and now you'll have, basically, Project Manager can go and create those stuff. You can choose the right stuff, go to Project Manager, and start managing, you know, the schedule for those projects. And if you're more advanced, and if you want to actually make more decisions and more deep dive and do what-if analysis and those kind of ideas with it, you can use the portfolio analysis services that actually allows you to define what the business drivers are. It does the calculate. It lets you prioritize those. And it lets you calculate, basically, based on those one, what are the outcomes going to be. And then you can kind of play with those and say, I really care about this set of projects based on the calculation it gave me. These are the priorities. or this project needs to happen. Like, no matter what, we have to do this project. So you have to bring that in back and let it kind of calculate what other costs it's going to incur. And finally, you can kind of feed that into a workflow and, you know, go through the permissions and all the kind of stages that you need to go through. So, I'm going to start off with a quick demo of what the ideation, how it looks like. Come back to that. Sorry, I need to duplicate my screen here because I can't look and type at the same time. So what it is, so like I said, with ideation, you're integrated with SharePoint. So you have the ideas that you have a project, you have a SharePoint site that you're hosted in, or whether it's on-prem or online, and then the project web app lives within that environment. So as long as you have that connection, as long as you have the project server enabled on a SharePoint site, you go to your SharePoint site and you create a task list. You go to list, just a generic custom list. And here I've defined a bunch of stuff. I've defined estimated cost of the project, number of equipment that we need, whether it requires a travel or not, how much it's going to pay out the project. And in this case, it's for a bunch of photography projects. So it's, number of projects, the number of photographers that it's going to take to actually do the project. And you can see some of the stuff is like, upgrading the cameras. It's going to just cost. It doesn't have any payout, like direct payout, so we can't actually calculate as a pay. It doesn't take anybody. This project, this one has a lot of cost, some pay. So we're going to come here, and we're going to take a look at this, and we're going to choose some projects that we think are interesting and something that we want to actually do. So I'm going to select a bunch of these, and let's do upgrade cameras and pitch ad campaign. So now all there is, you can come here and you go, edit. It's probably going to cost us about, let's say, $2,000. These two requires travel. For me, it does, because I got to go back to Seattle for it. Estimated pay is going to probably cost, give us $10,000, and he's, let's say, two photographers. So I save this, and now you have that back on here. So it's really just as easy as that. So, anyone can go in within the organization, pitch the project they want to pitch, put it on this list. And at some given time, you come here and you pick the project that you actually want to do. So we're going to pick these guys. And so you go into items. Wow, my ribbon just disappeared. Items. This version of IE is. There we go. So I'm going to select a bunch of these items here and say create project. And what it's doing basically, so now because there's an instance of a project server on there, it actually looks on a project server and sees what are the custom fields you've created on a project server. So it knows you have an estimated cost, it's a currency type, and we have a project projected cost custom field that we've created already of type cost. So it associates that automatically with the cost fields. And if you want to change these, if we have two fields, you want to say it's actually estimated pay, not project cost, projected cost, you can choose that. If you don't have those, you can actually come here and say, create a new enterprise custom field. This will take you to the project server instance, and you can actually create your custom field there. So it's really kind of cohesive experience. You don't have to go back and forth between multiple things. You can do it all from the same dialogue. So we come here. I'm going to get rid of this. You can, if you have templates that need to be applied. So if you want to actually pick, I want all the projects that get created this way to have six tasks in them. These are the type of tasks they want. These are the type of resources they need to have. You can create those templates from project client, upload on project server. And when you do this, you can say, actually, all of these projects need to follow this template. They need to follow this guidelines before going. And you can have as many of those as you want on here. In this case, I only have enterprise projects. I'm going to say enterprise projects, create the project. And so what this is doing, instead of, if you don't have this tool, the other solution to doing this would be you connect a project client or you go to the project server and you create individual projects for as many times as, you know, you need to do this exercise. This way, it's just a matter of, you know, you enter it in a list, four lines, and the project server connection, the ideation connection, does all the job for you. And so, you know, we have five projects created. If I hit this drop down, you can say, you know, this one succeeded, and they're all the projects that I created. So, and so from here, if I go to project server, and go to projects, you can see those are the projects I created. They're all now here. And if you can open these, you know, you can open them and go into editing the schedule and doing modifications. And we'll kind of get to that in the next section. So, but the second part of this whole thing is, like I said, it's the, you can, so this is the basic part of it, right? So if you want to actually just bring the projects in, this is how you bring the projects in, and this is how you choose the projects. But let's say we actually want to do a little more advanced stuff. We actually want to go into look at the portfolio and kind of see what is important to us and how it's going to actually do it. So let me go back to PowerPoint here. So for that one, I'm not going to go into the... Flipping between screens is going to be... So, you know, with portfolio analysis, the way you choose it, so, you know, the projects that we have, so you come here and you first define, I don't know if you can see that or not, but what you do, you define your business drivers. And what you say, you know, you give it the name, whatever your driver is, and here you kind of say what the impact on the business is. So if you have estimated cost, for example, if the cost is higher, you want to basically, if it's high, you want that one to be more important or less important, and you want to do the project that costs you less. In this case, for example, here in this one, again, I don't think you can see with the screenshot that well, but it says it's the expanding the customer base. So if expanding the customer base, if it expands it by, doesn't expand it at all, its impact is none on a business. If it expands it by 100%, it expands is extremely high. Its impact is extremely high. So you kind of define your business drivers, and you can have as many of them as you want. Here I have two. You can have 50 or 100. The more you add here, the more complicated it gets when we get to the analysis part of it. But you can add as many as you want here. And then the next step is you actually compare them. So you say, you know, we have two. We have improves the company brand and expands the customer base. And in this case, we say expanding the customer base for us is more important than improving the company brand. So the projects are going to be, as you go through the projects, you say this project does this one and, you know, strong, or this is the impact is extreme or is low. And as you do that and it goes through the list, it starts comparing them basically to get to all the drivers, and it will kind of prioritize based on all the drivers that you have. So when you get here, so you pick, basically you pick a list of all the projects you want to work on. So these are the projects that some of the projects we imported from the ideation from Task, from the SharePoint list. And we kind of go, okay, this one expanding the business to do portrait stuff, it has extreme impact on the base, and it actually improves the brand very well. Upgrading the cameras doesn't really expand the customer base at all, and it doesn't improve the brand either. It's a cost that we need to do. So you kind of define it this way. And then you feed it into the analyzer. And the analyzer kind of crunches away and comes back and it says, from the priority projects, this project has about 65 or 70% importance, and it kind of ranks everything else below that. And it tells you here by this graph is that if you actually spend about 15 equipment resources that you have, and we said we want the number of equipment usage, so it's important to us. So in some cases, it might be the cost, might be the number of resources you use on a project, so you can kind of define that. And then, so you kind of define that, and here it tells you, you want to do this one first, and the last thing you want to do is upgrade the cameras. But looking at this, so you go, upgrading the cameras is important, or actually, like the Iceland trip, it's interesting, but we don't really care. If you don't do it, we can live with it. So we take that out. So this is kind of the what-if scenarios. You know, you can remove this one and say, well, I want to see how the project is going to look like, how the portfolio is going to look like with removing this one project from it. And you're looking here is that, this is the 100% goal, so this is if we did everything, would end up here. We end up using 15 pieces of equipment, and if we actually take this project out, we can do about 95% of the project with only 4 pieces of equipment. So you can actually kind of play around with that and saying this one actually will require a lot less resources if we don't do this project, and we still get, you know, X percent of our final target. So you can kind of start playing with this, and once you've approved everything, you can kick off the workflow that will go through and start approving the stuff and start creating the project, and now basically allows the PMs to go in and start putting the schedule together and kind of get the real project going from starting from the ideas. So you've chosen the projects you want, basically, whether it was through ideation or through portfolio analysis, you've picked the projects you actually care about, and now you really want to get into scheduling the projects. And the same schema applies here. There's different things you can do for different projects, and it doesn't need to be one or the other of these solutions. It's depending on what the project is and how much complexity that project has, you can use any of these solutions as long as you have the project server. So the first step is the first piece is the SharePoint task list projects, and we've kind of dubbed these ones visibility projects. And what they are is they're really that task list. There's nothing special about them. There's a SharePoint project site that has a timeline. It has a bunch of tasks on it. They're still to-do kind of tasks. They're not big, complicated tasks. But what it does is that it, when you create it, it links it to project server. So it actually brings it into the project server, and all the reporting and all the insight that you could get for using all the features the project server has, now you can get with the SharePoint task list. If you don't have the project server, you can still create these projects. The difference is that there's no visibility into them. So if you want to actually see how your projects are doing, someone's got to click on projects one by one and go through them, kind of take notes down and figure out how things are going, how many tasks are done, when things are due. Whereas this way, you can just bring it into project server, you have it on project center, you have the Gantt chart for it, you have everything there. So you can actually kind of see the full details of it. And if once the project grows, even if like if you've started executing on a project and at some point you go, you know, it's no longer just a to-do list. We actually need scheduling for it. You can kind of flip a switch and that project now becomes a project server project. You can actually go in and start scheduling it also. So from there, the next step is using Project Web Client. So whether it is a SharePoint task list project that you flipped into being a managed project, you know, a fully project managed with a schedule, or you want to create a new one, you can actually go to the web client and start implementing a project there. The nice thing about this is that in the 2013 release, we moved the scheduling engine from the client to the server also. So it's the same scheduling engine that you have running in your desktop client that runs on a server also. So there's definitely parity between the two, and there's also the almost 90% of the capabilities that you have on a project client you have here. The things you don't have, so before I get into that, so the things that you do have with the client is that you actually now you have access to all the project service resources. So if you have material, work, and cost resources, generic resources, you can actually use those in the web app, whereas you couldn't do in a SharePoint task list. SharePoint task list, all you had was really you can give the names of the people who are within the organization, and that's it. It's really assigned to people. Whereas here, you know, if you have Bob and his bulldozer, you can assign both of them to the same task and make sure that schedule and the cost and everything gets calculated because there's a scheduling engine behind it. Whereas the other one is really just a spreadsheet. So, and the nice thing with this one is that if you don't have complicated projects, you don't need some of the project features within project server, project desktop client, you don't need to buy an extra license, for example, for the clients. You can just get the project online subscription, or you can get the project server, and you can just use project server to implement your projects, and you don't need to kind of drill, you know, buy extra stuff to install or pay extra. So, and the next step, you know, the final thing, if you have really complicated projects, that's when you want to buy the desktop. So usually in an organization, you have maybe 10, 20% of the PMs are really, you know, hardcore PM, product managers that, you know, want to get the licenses, they know the stuff, they have the education behind it, they want to do all the analysis to it, you get the project client for those guys. The ones who just need to enter the task and kind of manage the schedule a little bit, you get the web client for those guys, and the rest of the people can either enter the tasks through task list or through the tracking system that we have. So this one, you know, it gives you access to time phase data, so you can really play with the resource contours across, you know, different days. You can get up to, you know, hour by day across years of projects. If you have big projects, if you have thousands of tasks in a project, I really recommend getting a client. Don't get the server one. Just there's performance. You got to go back and forth on the server. Excuse me. And then the other thing is that you can do capacity planning with the client stuff. So you can actually bring all your resources in, figure out how they're assigned and when they're assigned, and you play with the availability. It's not as easy to do that in a server. So I'm going to jump in here and kind of get into, and I need to kind of flip these screens again. Kind of get into how you do some of these ones. So we're going to look at, the first one we're going to look at is a SharePoint task list project, which is the visibility projects. And really the jumping off point is the same thing. For everything, you come to this first page of, oh, you don't see this. So jumping off point is this page. You just, you know, go to your PWA page, which is the project web app page, and you get this. So here we're going to create a new project, so we're going to go to projects. And this page is the hub for all the projects you've created. So the projects we imported just a minute ago from ideation, they live here. If you want to add more projects, you come here and you create new ones too. So you go new. So enterprise project is a managed project. The SharePoint task list is a visibility project. So we're going to go SharePoint task list. Give it a name. So this one, is shoot. Seahawks parade. Great. So now what this is doing is actually creating a project site for that project. So this is going to SharePoint, creating it its own site in SharePoint, and that site is going to have feeds. It's going to have document uploads. It's going to have a task list, a timeline. So it kind of gives you a little space for that project for your people to go work in. And it's really just designed for interaction between a few people in a small group to actually go and kind of work on their own in a separate area and not have to, you know, go through the project management. There's really no, like, the idea behind it is there's no time tracking. There's no, I work 4 hours here, 3 hours there, you know. So there's none of that. It's really around who's doing what and is it done or not and what's the next thing to do. The network is really slow here because everyone's bashing on it right now. So as soon as this gets created, well, that's still thinking about it. So basically, once it gets created, you come here. And this is basically the home of your project. Now, anything you want to do, you can do it in here. You can see, like, we don't have, like, you know, it says get organized. You don't have any task entered here, so you can start entering a task. You have the timeline, the news feed, so as people do stuff, you can put it here. And if you want to upload any documents, you can upload them here. So let's go into get organized here and start entering a task. And, you know, what you get is this, you know, blank list of that one we need to report to SharePoint. All right. So you know, you start off here, and it's very simple. You know, so we need to, you know, scout the location. It needs to happen. Should have happened yesterday. So the message here is basically the first one, as soon as you add the first task, that task automatically gets added to the timeline for you to kind of show you that you can add stuff to the timeline. But, you know, the consecutive tasks, we don't add them. So you have to kind of figure, you have to choose which task and when, which milestones you put in there. So, ready, do the shoot, post-process, images. So it's a simple list. And, you know, you can come to the due, you know, go through the due dates. This one is due today. And this one is due today. And then post-processing images. So this case, for example, post-processing images is going to take us multiple days. So we can actually go in here, open the item, edit the item. And you can actually say this one is going to start tomorrow. Missed this. Wow. So this one actually, so this one is going to take multiple days to actually do this task. So I'm going to give it start and a finish date, so it's not just a matter of a due date. So anyway, you can see this one's due 5 days from now, and getting the images to printers is going to be. And, you know, they can do the stuff like adding the task to the timeline, so you can start seeing what your schedule is going to look like. So the nice thing with this is that when you roll up here, so if you go, when you go back to the project center, so shooting the Seahawks parade actually starts showing up in your Gantt chart. So if you don't have the, if you didn't have the project server hookup for this one, you'd only have to go back into that, into the project site to kind of see how that project was doing and when it was due. Whereas here, you can, when you come here, you can kind of see how it stacks up with the rest of your projects. And I can zoom in here so you can kind of see, like, you know, when does it start? When does it end? So it's going to start from one day and, you know, move on to the, this is the big task on there. And you can add, the nice thing from here, Project Center, you can actually add these, you can add the tasks to the timeline also here. So you can start showing all your projects and, you know, start stacking them up on the Project Center page. So now the second, so this is the, you know, this is really the basic project of how you actually manage a project in, you know, a taskless project. But to look at how you actually can manage it, actual enterprise projects, I'm going to go here and create enterprise project. And I already have a pre-baked list here, so you don't watch me type in stuff. Get rid of this, new enterprise project. So this one is, you know, to talk, this project is to improve the company portfolio, site. And we're going to say this one starts at on March 1st. Sorry, this local browser is not cooperating at all with me today. Save that. And now, so now this one's actually creating a project on a project server side. So this is actually a managed project that's going to get created in project. So this is no longer going to SharePoint. But every time you actually create a project in project server, it still associates a project site to it. So if you still want to manage documents, news feeds, that kind of stuff, you can still do that going through the project site and create, keeping your content there, but your project schedule is actually managed in project server and the web client. It's redirecting me to the page now. That's fantastic. Demo days, right? All right. So let's copy that list again. This is really not cooperating with me today. All right, so this is the starting point of the project. So you really just have a flat list of tasks that you need to do. And if this was a SharePoint design, SharePoint project site, this would what you would have. You have just a flat list of tasks with very little information around them. So I'm going to come here and actually start organizing this thing. So these few things, it needs to be under the design portion, the completing the dev design, coding, this is really under the site development, deployment, and then these are part of the actual marketing of it. And because of the network, these are actually still being sent to this. So what the way it works is actually, so every time you make an edit, it actually communicates that edit back. It sends your basically the intent of your edit back to the scheduling engine in the back, which is the same thing that would have been running on a client. So it sends that back, and the scheduling engine calculates what the actual calculation value needs to be with the rest of the project, and it sends all the resulting back to the grid to actually demo it. Sorry, the multiple browsers are wreaking havoc. There we go. So you can see as soon as I indent these guys, this one becomes a summary task. And now we can actually start keeping hierarchy for your tasks. And we really want to use these things for scheduling purposes. So I'm just going to do fill down so everything's be auto-scheduled. And as soon as I get auto-scheduled, you can see that the Gantt chart starts reflecting the tasks showing up. And right now, everything is as one day. So let's go through and kind of feel these out. So the color palette's going to take 3 days, 2 days, five. This one's a milestone. So this one, we know it needs to be completed by end of March. So we're going to give it a deadline. So this became a milestone here. And automatically, as soon as we add it, it ends up showing on the timeline too. So you can kind of lay out your schedule, kind of figuring out how your project needs to be laid out. This one's a milestone also. Let's see. It's to happen in April. Making a site public is also end of April. And I'm just going to go give these guys some durations also. So coding complete dev designs, 3 days. Five, deliver prototypes. Nice. 10 days. Just for simplicity's sake, let's just say all of these are 5 days, and this is a 2 days, and getting out space for 10 days. So, looking at this now, you know it's good. We have the times and that we need for these tasks, but it's still kind of a flat list. It still has some lines, but there's really no scheduling happening behind all of this. So. We're going to go and do a little bit of that. So we can select these ones and say these are all linked. There we go. So as soon as I link it, and this is where the scheduling engine basically comes in, it starts actually scheduling all your tasks and figures out all the dependencies for you. So if we said the finalizing, the color palette is actually going to take 5 days, you click that, and it actually moves everything else along with it. It's the same thing. If you're already using Project Client, the desktop can do this. Now the server can do the same to the same capacity, everything that the server does. So I'm just going to link these guys also. These two move also. So this is the basic project. I'm going to save the project. This is what the plan looks like, but we still don't have anyone assigned to these tasks. So we're going to go and build a team on this to actually find the people that need to work for the people and the materials that need to work on this thing. So we go to the project tab. Sorry, the ribbon on the browser is killing me. So the nice thing is that the scheduling engine in the back keeps the state of your project. So yeah, if you move around, like the case that I did right now, so I move from browser to browser, or as long as it's your credentials, it knows it's you editing the project. So you can actually move from machine to machine, and you can just pick up where you left off, as long as the process is open. If it does time out, you can actually recover the projects also. So if you leave your machine on after 15 minutes, it will close the scheduling engine in the back end, but it will keep your file there for about 2 days. So if you come back to it and hit refresh on your project, it will just find that file. It knows what engine had it open, opens the project, loads it again, and you can continue editing and stuff. This is one of the biggest improvements that having the engine allowed us to do, whereas the older releases of Project Server actually were stateless, so everything, all the state lived in your browser. As soon as you lost that, you lost all the edits you had made. This way, we kind of keep all the edits in the background for you. So let's go to project, let's build a team. So in here, you can see there's multiple types of resources. So I don't have that many resources entered here, but you can imagine if you have thousands of resources, everything shows up here. So there's multiple ways you can actually start playing with these. So you have, you can actually we give you some views that you have out of box. So we say, only show me the work resources or the material resources that I can use, or you can actually start doing filtering on these and figure out, I only want budget resources, and I don't have any budget resources, so it won't show anything. And clear the filter. So right now, the grouping that's applied is the type of resource type. So I'm going to, you're going to need a couple of these, and I'm going to pick these guys. I'm not going to work on this project. So, and easy as that, you just added these ones to the project, so you can actually kind of start using these resources now, go back and assign them. And if you notice, there's a bunch of material stuff, so like a camera equipment and renting studios and editing stations. You also have a bunch of people, and some of them are not individuals. They're the teams that you want to assign to the task, and there's some individuals that are going to actually do some individual work also. So I'm going to save and close. So now this is going to build a team in a project and reopen a project for you back in the schedule web part in the details page, so you can actually start assigning. My save didn't go through. This one's not. The nice thing is that full copy paste works, or should work at least. So I won't get into rearranging these ones. But so now we can, let's just do the summary tasks. So now you can actually start assigning the people out. So the design team is going to handle most of these. And we have fill down, so these guys are responsible for doing the design. And I'm going to assign some more. Development team, and David's going to work on this. So this one I'm going to assign to Eric. Marketing team. So these are the people that are going to work on it, and it's just like that. I can also go back and start adding, we need test servers for. I didn't add test service. We need studio rental for doing some of the stuff. We need We need studio rental, and we need other material resources assigned to these tasks also. So that kind of keeps track of that. I'm going to hit save here again, so I don't lose this data. So once you create this project plan, now because there's a scheduling engine behind this, once my save comes back, you can actually start looking at the way project actually starts calculating stuff for you. So if I go to resource cost, you can actually see that we actually have how much each resource is costing based on their pay and based on the material they use. So for example, studio rental is going to cost us $255 because it has probably some rental fees plus some hourly fees that you got to pay. So it kind of calculates all that and brings it here. This is one of the limitations that I mentioned that you have with the project details page, is that in the web client, you can't edit resource information here. You have to go to the client, to the desktop clients, to actually start editing the project within resources and assignment data. The only thing you can actually modify here is if you go to the assignment views, there are four assignment fields that you can modify. And these are the people, the tasks that are assigned to every one of your resources. So you see the same tasks repeating because you have it assigned to. So the coding, for example, there's development team to David and there's studio rental associated with it. And it tells you what they are. So the only thing you can modify is the work of a task, the start, the assignment, the work, the start, finish, and units, which is not on this page. Those are the only four fields that the client allows you to edit. Everything else you want to edit, you can edit everything in a desktop client, and you can really get into the time phase data of it. Actually, this assignment is going to happen 8 hours on this day, 4 hours on this, 3 hours on this day. You can kind of arrange that contour. You can't do that here. It's a very plain peanut butter kind of assignment that happens. And the other things that we added here with having the schedule engine, now you can actually start baselining your information. So if you can go back to it and compare to that baseline, saying, how was it? We said it was going to cost $10,000. We're 2 weeks into the project. Where are we at that? Is it still $10,000? Has that moved? Has it not moved? And so if I go back to the summary here. So, and if you start marking stuff off as complete, so not only did it start reflecting here, but if I save and publish this, So once it gets published, all the information is actually going to start showing up on our Project Center. So you can see the project that we just created, it starts showing up here, and it's this much percent complete, and you have that information. The 15% complete, it's going to take 848 hours of work over 70 days, and the project owner is me in this instance. So you can start seeing these projects kind of showing up on here, and if you can start actually adding them to the timeline also. So you can start kind of building up these ones next to each other. So you have kind of a report, like overall report of, you know, how your projects are stacking up together, when in time each project is going to come up. And if you really want to, if there's specific milestone in each project that's important to you, you can also go into the project with this Ask Task button, and it will open up the project. You can pick a milestone and bring that and start showing it on your schedule. So there's really no need to, like, you know, create these master projects to be able to kind of track all these things. You can just do them here and use a timeline in a Project Center and a Project Center views to kind of create that aggregate of everything. So, you know, it kind of gets you away from having these massive files within files within files. It's nested hierarchy. So kind of you get away from that. It's a little more easier to manage. And with the reporting stuff, we'll see that with some of the reporting you can build, you can aggregate all of it into a single report, and you can look at how everything else is doing together. So let's go back to the PowerPoint. All right. So now you're creating a project. We assigned a bunch of tasks out. We assigned some stuff to Eric. We assigned some stuff to the dev design team. And now it really comes down to time of actually figuring out how's your project going. So, you know, you're project managers have created the schedule, you're in the grind of things, and you figure out, you know, people need to go back and report time to you to figure out how that's done, where your project is. So again, same level of complexity. You can start by just reporting status. So there's two features. So there's a task and there's a timesheets. And a tasks feature in Project Server is really just purely around status. It's how is your project going, are you on track, and really around the project manager's view of things. It's not so much the Xena 2, how is the resource working, when would we pay them, are they spending time on other things. That's not really important in this case. The important thing is figuring out how is the project progressing, are we meeting the deadline. That's really the goal of reporting status. And the other option is through timesheets. And with timesheets is really you're looking at figuring out exactly how someone is spending their time so you can actually pay them basically based on that. There is, by default, a distinction between the two features, and the stuff that you put in timesheets doesn't come into the status, they're separate. And the idea behind it is that you could have a contract with a company that says, you tell them, we're going to bill you for 40 hours, and that's it. You can't bill them more than 40 hours because you promised it's gonna take 40 hours. Your project, your status of the project could go to 60 hours. But the billing system, which is from the timesheets of number of hours you do, you max out the 40 hours, and now you start tracking the progress in your project, and that thing is going over, but they're kind of separate. If your company needs, they're both the same thing, if you kind of need to kind of bring them together, there is a single entry mode, basically, that you say, if you enter stuff in timesheets, that also gets applied to the project and kind of rolls forward into the status of the project. But otherwise, they're kind of separate from each other, and they don't. And finally, we have to give the PM's ability to kind of accept and reject and figure out what they are, so PM can actually look at the status, say, oh, I'm going to apply the status that you submitted, see how the project progresses, and says, actually, you need to work on it more. We said it's going to take 10 hours. You said I needed 2 hours, and you're done. You need to go back and do more work on it. They can accept or reject it. So, and the way they do that is that, so we have, this one I have screenshots. So I don't have to rely on the desktop browser. Project manager created the assignments, assigned a bunch of stuff to Eric. He's going to publish the project, and as soon as he publishes the project, the task starts showing up on Eric's homepage. So when Eric logs in, so you know this is Eric logging into the server, and here he sees on his main page, he sees that he has 5 new tasks assigned to him. And by clicking that, he can just go to his status page. And I'm going to just talk about here about statusing. Timesheets is a much heavier, more deep dive. I have a couple of booklets here, and I have references to the timesheets session also. So if you want to actually see the details of how timesheets and statusing really work differently, you can take a look at those. So here he comes here, and he says, you know, the buying the domain, we said we're going to buy some domain, that's actually done. So he enters, you know, 100%. And because there's a scheduling engine behind this one too, everything gets calculated. So we figure out how much work you've done, when it's been done, what's left of it. We figure that out, but we also tell you that, hey, you need to still save because you haven't submitted it. So he selects the task, hits submit status, and then he sends that off. Once he hits status, that gets sent off to the project manager, and then next time the project manager logs in, he can actually see that he has a bunch of approvals here, so he has one approval pending. So he needs to take a look at this and see, you know, if the approval is good, if the status submitted is good or not, whether he should accept it or not. So he goes ahead and opens that, and you can see, you know, he has the, you know, the time submitted, it's 100%. Buying domain is done. It was supposed to get done in, you know, in March or in May, and it's actually done now, so we have it done. He can accept it. We can, you know, buy the ribbon, you can reject it and put comments, accept and add comments. And as soon as that happens, it again, it's a scheduling engine kicks in, opens the update that you submitted, puts it into the schedule, reschedules the whole project based on the updates you've done. And then next time he opens it, this task is going to show up as 100% in the schedule. So it's basically, you don't need to have at all any sort of client for it, so everything is done in the web. And the difference between, again, new release and old release is that because the scheduling engine from the client is on a server, before there were two separate scheduling engines, and in cases you could create different results, the new server doesn't do that. It's the same scheduling, whether you open it in a client or on a server. So it, again, eliminates a little bit more of the need of having a separate client for PMs having to open stuff in the desktop client to approve and reject stuff. So, you know, the tracking purposes of the whole status report and everything is really around the project manager. It's really specific to a project of how that specific project is going. But overall, you need to kind of roll this up and look at all your portfolio and kind of report all from that to management and to the upper leadership. So again, multiple levels of complexity. The first thing that people don't think about, so when you think reports, everyone automatically jumps to the whole, you know, the pretty sexy reports, Excel reports that they showed. But the first line of defense in reporting is the out-of-box views. If you look at the project center, the timeline kind of gives you an overview of how your projects are laid out. You can do, you know, filtering, sorting, grouping in there just to kind of get a gist of where things are in a grid view and a Gantt view. But if you really want to get, you know, deep dive, you go into the reporting services and you start building some of these reports that, you know, that Mike showed in the keynote, and you have a lot more detail in there at a higher level. So to look at those, so there's a bunch of out-of-box views. And so, you know, here we're looking at the cost. So you can actually look at the cost column of, you know, you can look at the projects and how much they're costing with the timeline on there. You can do stuff like grouping of who owns what projects in Project Center. So these are project-level views, so you can actually look at, you know, this project has this many hours, this much work assigned to it, this person is managing this much work, where is that work happening and who owns it. You can do stuff with assignments, so you can see how many projects is each resource assigned to, when did these happen with assignment views. And you can also look at resource availability of where your resources, you know, how much capacity they have and how they're being utilized on a server also. So these are all server views. You don't need to do anything for them. You just select your resource, you click on the resource availability, it gives you this view. You go to Project Center, you filter, it gives you the right view. And like I said, if this is not enough, you can always go to the reporting services, and, you know, so on the home page, you can come here, you can add your SSRS reports to the NAV pane, so you can just get them on here. So it's, you come to the home page, you click it, and it will take you to the dashboards that you get. And, you know, you can do all sorts of interesting graphs and interesting dashboards. So these ones are the SSRS dashboards that you can build. So you can go through different reports based on the data you have. So these are all through OData connections from the server, and these are online or on-prem. You can get these things. Or you can hook up Excel and PowerView to the OData service also and pull a bunch of the data that you had through OData into Excel. I'm not going to get into really too details of how you build the reports and how you query them, what are the specific things you can do. Mike McLean and Mark Boyer have two sessions on the reporting stuff that go really deep dive. Unfortunately, this session should have been on the beginning, so I could have told you should go on Tuesday afternoon and see Mike's demo. But all the sessions are recorded, and I have the information from the sessions at the end of this deck. So if you want, you can go to the recordings and see them. And if you still have questions on them, my contact info is there. You can just email me, and I'll put you in touch with the right people for these. So just kind of a recap on how, you know, what we talked about is that, so, you know, you start your project with a selection. You want to select the project you want to look at, how much it's going to cost you, how are you going to do, what projects you're going to do. then you get into the grind of managing it. So you start creating the projects, you're creating the schedule, assigning the stuff out, figuring out who's going to work on what, and you lay out the whole project. And as your project continues to grow, you need to start actually doing time reporting on it and time tracking of who's doing what and where they're doing it. So you can actually start doing using the time reporting, and you really get into this cycle of, you know, you get status submitted, you go back to the schedule, you update your schedule, and you move forward with it. And on top of that, we also give you the business intelligence, the reporting services, through the views that we have, that you can actually start looking at the overall view of how is your business doing, how are all your projects doing instead of individual projects. And so, you know, the related content, I have it here. So if you have different sessions, there is, you know, what's new with Project Online, portfolio stuff. These are really the deep dives of what the specific pieces are. And if you have questions on it, please let me know. That's it. Questions, answers? Yeah. I believe by end of the week, that's the target. But I would double check with the staff here, because we don't have control over when they get posted. So. Yeah, so everything we have is recorded. All the sessions are recorded. So once they're available, it means the session tomorrow ends today, and then the recording should be available by the end of the week, hopefully. Other questions? Project Web App is everything I showed you. So it's the hosted project servers. The web application is the Project Web App. So if you have a project server, 2003 installed on-premise, the portal you go to, you know, the URL you type, that's the Project Web App. So it doesn't really matter if it's online or on client. It's the same, or on-prem, sorry. It's the same. The web app is the interface, the web interface, basically, for the server. So it's not tied to online or not online.
Okay, so when you say Project Online, that's
Project Online, excuse me. Project Online is when we host the servers for you. So you go to 365 and you buy a subscription to Project Online, the project server. On-premise is you go out and buy the licenses to host your own servers, and you gotta provide the SQL servers and all the server machines and the IIS machines to actually support the stuff. So that's really, it's Project Server. When we say, if you hear Project Server 2013, that means an on-premise server, and when they say Project Online is the hosted cloud version of project. But like I said, as far as functionality goes, they're very similar. There's really very little difference between them. How you make a decision between local, basically on-premise servers and online servers. Multiple things. So the recommendation is going online is. You don't have to host anything, right? The cost of you're paying the premium for actually having us manage everything. An advantage of it is you don't have to worry about patching. You don't have to worry about when things break, you have a much quicker line into the product line. So you just basically call the support, and very quickly, depending on how it impacts your business, that can get escalated to the product team. Whereas if you have the on-premise stuff, the support system is a little bit longer, and you have to go through more channels. That's the kind of advantages of going to online. The on-premise stuff is, there's a couple of them, and one of the biggest ones is security is a concern. It's not that we have a concern for security, but a lot of companies are still, that's the thing that they're really worried about is who has access and where to have access to data. And there's, you know, improvements is coming down the pipe, you know, to make it more and more government approved and more secure. And that's really the only case I can think of. But I can put you in touch with people who really can tell you the differences. Yep. No. So, on-prem servers, it really depends on how you're deploying, right? If you're a multinational company and you're hosting your servers in U.S., then you have to go through a network from Europe to hit the U.S. servers. With the online, you actually have less of those, because if you actually have different locations, you could get routed to different data centers around the world with the same data. So if you're in Japan, you hit the Japan servers, you don't hit the Chicago data center. So like you can basically get routed to the location that your data lives on, as opposed to where your physical machine is living in someone's lab, basically. Yeah. the resource management and detailed time sheeting of, detailed time phase data of your task. There's a couple of other things like setting manual baselines, for example, you can't do online. If you use budget resources, you can't use online. Cross-project links and master projects, you can't use the web app for it. You have to have the client. So there's a few limitations that we've added on there. But most of the regular scheduling is the same thing. So. You can see the capacity in demand. You can't edit it. To edit it, you need the client. So if you actually want to get... Yes. Yeah, what I showed from SharePoint task list projects all the way to the project client, you could really have people that are resource managers in your team that just deal with project desktop client and go in there and really get into looking at the availability and playing with stuff. But you don't have to buy... If you have 200 project managers, you don't need to buy 200 licenses for the project client. You can buy 30. And then the other, 170 can use the project web app to just, enter the task and schedule stuff and make sure the stuff is linked. And when it gets to the complicated stuff, you send it to those 30 and they manage the more complicated stuff. So you can have it, and you can go back and forth. If you created a project using a web app, doesn't mean you can't open it in a client. If you created it using a client, doesn't mean you can't open it in a web app. The only case is, like I said, if you create a master project in the client, you can't open that in the web app. You can view it, but you can't edit it. Pardon me? Oh, no, I said master projects. Massive, like if it's thousands of tasks, you can open it, but there's a performance degradation there. Because every time, every time you make an edit in the web app, in the project, the web client, what it does is sends the update to the scheduling engine. Scheduling engine calculates everything, and it sends the data back. If you have a big data set, like thousands of tasks, it needs to send all of that back, and a grid still needs to apply it. So you start getting into latency problems of kind of passing that data before. So if you have between, dozens to, 500 tasks, you can easily use the project web app client without worrying about it. But once you get into bigger projects, or, if your project spans thousands of days or, years, go in a client, because you're looking at more complicated projects. Yep. Sorry, I'm going to come down here, because this computer kind of covers what I see. It is. It's based on periods. So when you can define a timesheet manager, you can define the periods, when they start and when they end, and they can define, we're going to define the next 30 periods for now, and you can't go past that, and that's where you enter time, and then when it gets closer, they go and enter new periods, and they expand that. Any other questions? All right. There's an eval form. Please fill it out. And the second thing, I don't know who's staying or not. If you're staying, enjoy Disneyland. If you're not, have a safe trip home. So, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.